As part of the government's retail crime response yesterday, the police have plans to increase presence and visibility in areas experiencing the most harm. Their words, not mine. The focus on gang criminal activity will now also be broadened to focus on offenders that are causing significant and repeated harm. And of course, as we've announced, they've also changed their pursuit policy as of next year. The Police Commissioner, Andrew Costa, with us. Morning to you.
Good morning, Mike.
All that stuff I talked about a moment ago, increasing presence and visibility in areas experiencing the most harm, do you honestly need to put out a press release on that? Isn't that what policing fundamentally is?
Yeah, look, absolutely it is, but you'll also appreciate that there are huge demands on police resources, and on any given day and week, we have to prioritise where we put our focus. And so what we're signalling here is an increased focus on those areas, understanding the concern that sits amongst retailers. It also recognises that offending trends have shifted a bit. Residential burglaries have dropped a lot through and subsequent to COVID, whereas offending against commercial premises has increased.
Why is there so much recidivism?
Oh, look, that's a very complex and long-running thing. I think what we need to acknowledge is that post-COVID, all of the pre-existing causes of crime, be it drugs and alcohol addiction, mental illness, pressure on families, youth disengagement, are worse than they were before. And we're not unusual in that. Internationally, we're seeing exactly the same picture.
And so that's basically because we locked the country down so much, people went crazy, and now they're committing crime.
Well, I think what we're seeing, all of our comparable jurisdictions are experiencing elevated offending. Now, exactly what that is different in different places, but, no one's escaping this across our comparable partner jurisdiction.
Does that last, or is it permanent?
Oh, look, I think it's going to be a slow return to some kind of normality. I would be surprised if in a year, we're not still seeing those effects, and obviously, pressure on families plays into things like family harm as well, which is a big driver of police demand. So those challenges are real.
As far as the pursuits are concerned and the change of policy as of next year, officers were feeling frustrated and powerless. Police data shows there's been an increase in fleeing driver events and a decrease in identifying drivers. Most people would go, well, what a surprise. Why didn't you see that coming in the first place?
Yeah, and look, that's an understandable kind of perspective. The other side of it is we've had, in the decade pre our changes to policy and practice, 60 people die as a result of fleeing drivers. And focus normally goes on to police for why were you pursuing them? And so we've had to explore what a different policy looks like. We're not talking about a wholesale change back to where we were, but we are talking about a rebalancing to make sure that there's clarity about when the harm from further offending may justify a pursuit.
Are you under-resourced?
Look, we could always do more with more, and demand, as I've noted, is high. But there has been very significant investment in place, and we've grown in the last 5 years. In the end, we also need further investment in reducing drug and alcohol addiction, reducing harm from mental illness, because those fall into the police bucket when potentially they could be prevented.
I was going to say, do they fall into the police bucket incorrectly? In other words, you should be slapping some handcuffs on, and the booze and the drugs and all those other social issues are the department of somebody else.
Well, all of the cross-cutting problems that lead to crime, you can find upstream causes. And so police will always be dealing with, a layer of problems. But if you want long-term solutions, then, the investment sits elsewhere.
Well, the problem with the long-term solution, Andy, is, you and I have been around about the same amount of time as far as I can work out. We've talked about these things our entire lives. For all the kumbaya hot hand-holding and let's have some drug rehab and stuff like that, it hasn't worked, it isn't working, and you're at the sharp end of a major, major problem. And it strikes me that you're not doing your job, not necessarily through any fault of your own, but one, you don't have the resource, and two, you're let down by the judiciary. Am I wrong?
Look, it's really tempting to look for simple solutions, and I can understand that. In some cases, there are simple solutions. A really high-end offender who's repeatedly harming people should be in prison, and it's our job to make sure that happens. But if you're talking about, a 15-year-old who's embarking on a life of crime, well, actually, most 15-year-olds don't go into a life of crime, and a small cohort grow out, other cohort will grow out, and then in another cohort actually will be lifelong offenders, and we have to be a bit smart about which ones we respond to which way. Otherwise, we commit ourselves to larger and larger prisons.
The Sandringham situation specifically, I know you don't want to comment on it because for obvious reasons, but he was a 5, allegedly he's 501. How big a problem are the 501s?
Yeah, look, obviously I can't comment on that case, but what I can say generally is the 501s are very, not all of them, but a proportion of them are high-end bad offenders that have shaped our criminal environment significantly. We've got that now and we have to do our best with it. But there's no doubt that it shifted our gang scene and it has also, you know, seen us managing some pretty difficult people.
The dairy rollout, which you guys have taken a lot of heat for, there are 8 shops. What's been the problem?
Yeah, look, I think the focus on completed installations misses the fact that there's been actually quite a lot of equipment deployed. We've got over 100 shops that are out with contractors for installations to occur. I'm sure everyone can understand that the current environment's not an easy one to get product delivered, to get things installed, and so there's a lead time, there's planning permissions and all of that. But I'm very proud of the work the team's done. They have visited literally hundreds of premises, done crime prevention assessments, and now we've just got to let the program run through its course.
Has the criteria been too restrictive?
Look, the criteria at the outset was about ram raids, and that was understandable. Ram raids, actually, right at this moment, are in a much better place than they've been for probably the rest of this year, which is great. The concern now sits, around sort of robberies and some of those walk-in activities. Fog cannons are a really good solution for that. They're not the silver bullet, but having an expansion of that program will be helpful. But again, that's not.
But only if you can roll it out. If you haven't got a fog cannon, you can't put it in. So are the rules too restrictive? In other words, that particular dairy in Sandringham got turned down 3 times. Would you have liked to have done something different with that, and you couldn't because of the paperwork, or because, as Hipkin says, it's the insurer, or because what the hell's going on? It hasn't worked.
Yeah, look, I think obviously it's very sad given the circumstances that dairy didn't have a fog cannon, as I understand it. It didn't at the time meet the criteria. We police did its job. We deployed 1,000 fog cannons, and that made a big difference to aggravated robberies. We've now got the opportunity to roll out more. You have to have criteria. Clearly, there are thousands and thousands of small businesses in New Zealand, and the taxpayer can't fund every single one of them that have a fog cannon. So, I think that where we've landed with the announcement yesterday is going to allow a good uptake, and that's great.
So why? What are you based it on? So far you've installed 8 shops, and yesterday first thing we found out, there are no fog cannons. We've got to order them. We didn't order them, so they're not going to be until next year.
That's not correct. We've got about 270 fog cannons. We've got another 450 that we've ordered that will come. The problem is not going to be fog cannons, actually. The challenge will be having enough installers to get them all deployed in a timely fashion. So that's a logistical challenge. It's no different from the challenges facing all sorts of supply chain and building activity at the moment.
When you looked at those protests yesterday, the hundreds of people who turned out in front of their shops and said, basically, this is a soft-on-crime government in a soft-on-crime country with a police force and a judicial process that doesn't do what we would like them to do, what do you think?
Look, I think it is very, very tempting to look for the simple answers. If we just did this, then the problem would go away. Decades of experience say that's not the case. Crime is complex. Its causes are complex, the responses to fix it are many and varied. And so a debate about what the right responses are is absolutely right. But if anyone is out there saying there's just a simple solution, I think they are misunderstanding the problem.
Appreciate your time as always, Andrew Costa, Police Commissioner.